this will, it may be what you're expecting, and it may go completely different. But I want you to know that there is a Lord. His name is Jehovah God. Jesus Christ, the anointed one of Jehovah God, came to this earth, died on a cross, and arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And I, way back in 2017, I preached Brother Ted Fuller's funeral service. And at that funeral service, the Lord gave me a message, and I don't know how many times I've used it since then. And I've been arguing with God, saying, Lord, this is a funeral message. Some of you might be closer to the grave than you think. We don't know what will come tomorrow. We do not know what will come in the next couple of days. We don't know what will come as we walk out these doors. And as we plan for the future and we make all of our best laid plans and we have intentions of doing things and going places and seeing things and seeing places. But the fact of the matter is that we don't know that there is a future. But there is an eternity. Amen. And the Bible has told us that there is an eternity. And eternity consists of two places. One is heaven and one is hell. And for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, we'll go to this wonderful place called heaven after this life is over. And those who have rejected Him as Savior will die, and then they will spend that eternity in a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And that place is called hell. But there is a way to avoid this place called hell. And I want to give you this verse, and then I want to go into that message. So we might be flipping a good bit. I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and give you this hint. You can put your finger in Psalm 23. We'll be there in just a minute. You've probably heard that at a graveside too. John 3:16, and most of you know it, but maybe this is the first time that you're hearing this verse. I heard a story once about a preacher who was in the Northeast preaching, and he had a visiting pastor of another church that was not the same doctrinal beliefs as the Baptist church. And the visiting pastor sat and listened to the message, and the man had preached from John 3:16 and verse 17. And at the end of the service, the visiting pastor came through the receiving line or the exiting line, and he shook the preacher's hand, and this pastor said, I have never seen that verse before. Let me read you the verse that he had never seen. The Bible says simply, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus did not come into the world to tell everybody everything they were doing wrong. I would like to submit to you that when someone is doing something wrong, they already know because of their own conscience that they are in the wrong. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. Heavenly Father, I don't know what you're going to do, but as you have brought people here this morning into our church, I pray, God, that you would give them something from the Word of God. Lord, I pray that if there be someone who has never trusted you and you alone as Lord and Savior of their life, that today they would find themselves under the Holy Spirit's conviction. They would see themselves needing a Savior and in need of more than they can produce. And that they would submit to the gospel message and they would put their faith and trust in you, Lord. They would believe the gospel, repent of their sin, and trust you as Lord and Savior of their life. God, have your will in your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have read to you the intention of God Almighty, who has intended that all should be saved, even so that whosoever would believe in him, whosoever, doesn't matter the condition, doesn't matter the past, doesn't matter your heritage, doesn't matter where you come from, where you've been, where you going, but a whosoever can come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what makes this interesting, what makes me want to tie this into the other message that I have, is if you will turn with me to Psalm chapter number 23, those of you that's found it, and if you have not found it, take time to read it. I don't want you just to trust me and my reading. I want you to read it for yourself out of this blessed old book that we look at each and every day. But in the 23rd Psalm, we read these famous words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now the reason why that I brought you to this passage of Scripture is because I find here that the same God who sent His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, He sent Him to do a specific purpose for you. And if you're here this morning and you are confused, you are bewildered, you are cast down, you are discouraged, you are hungry, you are in need spiritually, you are in need physically, you are in need financially, you are in need emotionally, you are in need mentally, you have these needs, I want you to know that the very same shepherd that shepherds the sheep that have the similar needs as you will be your shepherd in your life. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. You can take that and say, the Lord is my shepherd also, David. See, we read these words, he and me and my, and they mean between the relationship between the Lord and a single sheep. And so your relationship is a personal one between you and God Almighty. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I realize that we are living in confusing days. I realize that we are facing interesting and amazing times, and we are seeing things that we would have never thought that we would see. And I am here to tell you this morning that there is a shepherd, there is a guide, there is someone to point you in the right direction in the midst midst of your confusion, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your desperation, there is a shepherd who will lead you to where you need to be. Thank God He didn't leave us lonely. He didn't tell us we just had to figure everything out on our own. He didn't save you for you to go out and have to figure out everything on your own. He didn't save you so that you would have to worry about everything and carry all the loads. Thank God there is a shepherd that loves you and wants to guide you through this time of your life and through your frustration and through your difficulty and through your disappointment. He loves you. So He wants to be your shepherd. Maybe you're lost and undone and you don't know this shepherd. He wants to guide you too. And by the way, the Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Maybe you're here under the sound of my voice or watching online under the sound of my voice, and you're at a place where you're just ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to give up spiritually. You're done. You've had enough. You've seen all you want to see, and you don't know which direction you will go next. Listen, friend of mine, there is a shepherd who will guide you through this time. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that very next phrase says, "I shall not want." He's a shepherd that satisfies your longing. He's a shepherd that'll fulfill the desires that you have. He is a shepherd that will take care of the emergencies and the troubles and the difficulties you find yourself in. He is the Lord and He is the shepherd and He will take care of your wants. Matter of fact, I done found out because I done found Him faithful. That He meets all my wants and my needs. Amen. And here's what happens. My wants, they might be something that I don't need. And He changes my wants and gives me what I need. Amen. When I submit to Him, I realize that He takes care of everything that I stand in need of. He takes care of me like a good shepherd would. The Bible says that He leads me beside them still waters. He restores my soul. I wonder if there's somebody in the building this morning, your soul is just about to the point of desperation and you're just about ready to throw in the towel and give up. Friend of mine, I want you to know there's a shepherd that will restore you back to where you ought to be. Amen. There's a shepherd that'll put you back in the fold after you've wandered off. He'll bring you back home. He'll give you good pasture. He'll lead you beside still waters. He'll take care of you, child. Amen. You don't have to doubt this shepherd that we've got here. We got the best one that there's ever been. And watch this. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Look here. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm looking right now, and this light is causing a shadow below me, and that shadow, it can't do nothing. That shadow can't preach. That shadow don't have no sound. That shadow don't have no power. That shadow ain't got no ability. It's just that because of the light, there's a shadow that's being cast. Thank God, friend of mine, all death is a shadow to the child of God. It can't hurt you. It can't get you. Amen. I know it's dark. I know it's dreary. I know you're in desperate times, but the shepherd will lead you through the shadow. Glory to God. This shepherd right here is able to take you through. Watch this. He said, "I'll fear no evil, for Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." I'm glad that my Savior is well able to take care of me no matter what I'm going through. He said, I like this. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You might have to go and sit down and sit around some of your enemies. That'll be all right. Because the very next phrase, he said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Oh, preacher, what has that got to do with anything with sitting with your enemies? Them old sheep, they are prone to butt heads. Amen. And the shepherd, guy, the shepherd, you done come up down the front, brother. You're going to do some interactive preaching today. Amen. And that shepherd will take them male sheep that like to butt heads, and he will wipe and slather that oil all over their head so that when they begin to butt heads, I like this, that shepherd knows that his sheep are eventually going to bite. I'm going to get rid of them things. The shepherd is eventually going to know that those sheep are going to butt heads. And when they butt heads with that oil that is on their head, instead of them hurting one another, that oil is going to cause them to glance off of one another. Amen. Y'all all right? You come down here to the church house and you got a bad attitude, I like that the shepherd will take the oil of the Holy Spirit and wipe it all over your head, even though you wanting to butt heads with somebody. The Lord will just cause you to glance right off their head. Amen. Even though you're having a bad day and you're going to make everybody else's day bad because you are too, thank God somebody suited up with the oil of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it just glances off of one another. Thank God for the shepherd being wiser than the sheep. I'm having me a good time. And we ain't even got to points 2 and 3 yet. Listen, friend of mine, I know you're in the place where your enemies are everywhere, but man, your cup can run over. Yes, sir. When you get the oil on your head and just let things glance off of you that come to harm you. And then he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Watch this, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does that mean that he's going to live in the church 24/7? No, friend, that's not what that's talking about. That means he's going to be in constant communication with God. That means he's going to be where the Lord is. That means he's going to be serving God. He's going to be dwelling in the fold. He's going to let the Lord be his shepherd. He'll be your shepherd. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. That's in the New Testament of your Bibles. 2 Corinthians 12. I realize that not everybody knows their Bibles like me, and I'm not saying this to be smart-alecky or anything. 2 Corinthians is right after 1 Corinthians. Amen? I know, but you're flipping through, and it is right before Galatians. It's smack dab in between the two. I'm not unwise to think that people don't know. Amen? Y'all don't laugh too hard. There's some of you ain't never even seen the book of Obadiah. Second Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 7. Now remember, I told you, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That same God will take you in your whosoever state, and he'll be a shepherd to you. But watch this. Verse number 7 in 2 Corinthians 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, or three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. But I like this next phrase even better than that. And thank God for the grace of God. But watch what Jesus, the great Savior, told old Apostle Paul here. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And watch this, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All right, preacher, what's that got to be with being or do with being a whosoever? Well, I'm glad you asked, and thank God. I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to be strong.
Wait a minute, preacher. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and of good courage.
He wasn't talking to you. He is talking to Joshua. Joshua was about to take over 3 million people that he was going to lead to the promised land. Amen. He was going to lead them on. Amen. That's what he was going to do. 3 million people. He wasn't talking to you. I know it gives us the warm and fuzzies to read that verse and apply it to our lives in areas where we want to be strong and where we want to be courageous. The thing is that we don't always apply it to every area of our life, just the things we want to be strong and courageous about. It's the same thing where Paul said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We want to apply those things except for the things that we want to use our strength on. And so here we are, where the Apostle Paul is facing a spiritual crisis. Now this thorn in the flesh, it is an interesting thing because it could have quite literally been an actual flesh thing or it could have been a spiritual need. I personally believe, after study that I've done, and I've only got about 20 years experience doing this, is that he had an infection in his eyes that was caused from the dungeons that he had been placed in. And that infection in his eyes would cause pus to come out of his eyeballs and out of his tear ducts and smelt foul and looked awful. Could you imagine trying to meet somebody for the first time? You got to go preach to 300 people and you got infection running out of your eyes, and man, that ain't the type of presentation that you really want. And he said that he prayed about this thing 3 times. Now, that's pretty miraculous because generally speaking, when Paul prayed, it didn't take but once or twice. Amen? And so he's asked God 3 times, Lord, take this from me. And God told him, my grace is sufficient. But more than that, my strength is made perfect when you're in weakness. I know you got this infection, Paul. I know that you got this trouble. I know you got this trial. I know you've got this difficulty. I know that you've got this decision you've got to make. I know that you've got this disgusting thing going on in your life. I know that you're facing something that you've never faced before. I know that you've got trouble and trials on every hand. I know, Paul, I know what you're going through. But friend of mine, my strength is made perfect when you decide you'll get weak. Uh-huh. You all right? You ain't got to be strong. Jesus will be your strength for you. But I want to be strong. I know that's the problem. You don't want to relinquish control to Him. I've seen lots of battles in churches, and I'm going to tell you what it begins with. Control. Power. I knew one pastor, he didn't like nobody else checking the mail because he wanted to be the guy to check the mail. Let it be known, I don't give two rips who checks the mail. Amen? We have to relinquish control to the Lord. And in the areas that we are weak in our life, you're weak in your separation, you're weak in your Bible reading, you're weak in your prayer life, whatever area of life that you're weak in, why don't you just say, Lord, I am weak here. Why don't you be my strength? I promise you, friend, He will be your strength. If He done it for the Apostle Paul, He'll do it for you and I, just like He did for Paul. He brought him through this time. He led him on through that trouble. And in the midst of Paul's weakest moment in history, Jesus was his strength. Jesus was his strength. We got one more place to go. What time is it? Praise God. 12:10. Plenty of tacos. And the catfish buffets are still full. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. I want to show you something else that the Lord will do for you. I sure like hearing them Bible pages flip. That's a blessing to my soul. Romans chapter 10 in verse number 9. I want you to read it for yourself with me. Y'all just give me a good hearty amen when you get there. There in your blessed old book that you hold in your hand, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. You've heard me say this over and over and over again. Nearly every Sunday for the last 8 years, you've heard me quote this verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be. For with the heart, mankind, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If there's a number three here in points, it would be that Jesus will be your Savior. He will be your shepherd. He will be your strength. And if you will put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone, He will be your Savior. He is mighty to save. He has the power and the ability to save you. He is not afraid of your past. He is not afraid of what you have done. He's not intimidated or surprised or shocked by what you may have participated in last night. And while the devil brings guilt and shame and heartache in your life, and you're at your point of desperation, and you find need for a shepherd, and you have no strength, and you're weak, the same strength giver, the same leader shepherd, will be your Savior. And He will save you. Simply on the premise that He loves you. Oh, preacher, I'm unlovable. No, you're not. Romans 5:20 tells us that where the offense abounded, grace does much more abound. You do not have sin great enough that God's grace cannot save you. You do not have sin bad enough that He would turn His nose up to your life. He has reached down throughout the halls of history, and He has came to those who were murderers. Moses murdered a man. Noah got drunk after he was obedient. David committed adultery. He was known as a man after God's own heart. Your sin is not so great that the grace of God is not greater. Your tribulation is not so strong that the grace of God cannot help you. You are not so bad that Jesus would not love you. He's a lover to the unlovable. He's a helper to the helpless. He is strength to the weak. He's the shepherd to those that are lost and undone. And He loves you and wants to be your Savior today. You're in a room full of people who have tried Him and tested Him, and they've found Him faithful. And if you'll try Him, go ahead. You'll find Him faithful too. David said this after David's great sin. Said He's sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Amen. He is more precious than anything we've ever had before. He is Jesus the Lord. He will be to you your shepherd, your strength, and your Savior. If you will trust Him today. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I've come to you before service. Lord, I've had this on my heart, and I thank you that you allowed me to preach. Lord, I pray that if there be someone that does not know you in the free pardon of sin, God, they would come to the saving knowledge of you this morning. They would confess you as Lord. They would put their faith and their trust in you and not in anything else, Lord, but in you. Not you plus something, but by grace through faith, they would be saved. God, convict in hearts. Move in this place. Bring people to your altar, Lord, where they may do work, where they may find you, where they may find help. God, have your will in your way. Strengthen, encourage, and help, Lord. Be their shepherd. Be their strength. Be their Savior, Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us?